one as we go deeper in the Word of God. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And I really want to launch from verse 8, but I want us to read verses 6, 7, and 8. So if you'll begin Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, if you have your Bible, say amen.
Amen.
Begin reading now. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Verse 8 says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. For just a little while, I want to speak about what is the significance of the death of the cross? What is the significance of the death of the cross? There is so much to be said about this phrase, the death of the cross. It began more than 500 years before Jesus experienced his death on the cross. It was a very difficult, infamous, disturbing act of execution by the Romans, so much so that it was forbidden for the Roman citizenry to be crucified on the cross. Those who would be crucified were slaves, were non-citizens, and criminals of multiple kinds. But not even Roman citizens were allowed to be crucified on a cross. That's how horrific the cross and the execution on a cross was. One of the things that's interesting about this phrase, even the death of the cross, which made it significant in the sense that it gained a greater notoriety, not so much for the evil and for the infamous realities of the detrimental things that went along with the curse of the cross, the sin of the cross, the crimes of the cross, and those persons hung on the cross, but more the fact that a holy Christ was hung on a hellish cross, transformed the idea of the death of the cross. One of the things that you must recognize is that this phrase stems all the way back from Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 23. And Moses was making clear to the people of God, according to the word of God, that whoever was hanged on a tree was accursed of God. Paul picks it up in Galatians 3 and 13, and he says, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Jesus did it, and it's because Jesus did it that we no longer are cursed, because he himself paid the price for us by hanging in our place on the cross. One of the other things you might need to know about this phrase, the death of the cross, was the fact that Roman soldiers took pleasure in handling those who were deemed worthy to die on the cross. It was a public display of greatest shame. People came from miles around to watch those who would be crucified and hung in a public display to die on the cross. Here is how it went, so that you'll understand the structure and the formula and the standard by which the Romans did their crucifixion. The first thing they did when they were sentenced to be hanged on the cross, they were then turned over to the Roman soldiers. The Roman soldiers would scourge them with a whip. The whip that brought about the stripes would depend on the crime that was committed. One of the greatest crimes that could be committed would go or carry up to 39 stripes. One stripe less than 40 stripes. 40 stripes was known to be a death sentence. And so to keep from killing one, they would never give more than 39 stripes for the most heinous crimes. But it could be anywhere from 5 to 39 stripes on that person's body. Then after they had scourged them, they would then pick out a cross. And I think you need to know that there were multiple choices of crosses used, many times, again, depending on the crime that was committed for which they were being crucified. One of the crosses was called the X cross. And the X cross was made just like the X, the letter X. They were hung up like that with their arms stretched out and their legs stretched out on the X cross. The other cross was considered an inverted cross. The inverted cross was an upside down cross where the person was hung with their heads hanging down. And of course, the most famous of the cross was called the Crux cross. And the Crux cross was that cross that was from the Latin cross, which was the vertical cross with the horizontal bar across it, called the T cross. That was the cross Jesus was hung on. Now, one of the things that you must know, once they had been scourged, depending again on the number of stripes that they had been given, they were still made, whether they were 5 or 39, to carry whatever cross was selected. They would then put that cross on that person's shoulder and then march them to the place where they would be crucified at. If they fell down under the weight of the cross, many times they would help the person up and pick the cross up and put it back on them without a break and scourge them a little more for falling down under the weight of the cross. The weight of the cross was a reminder of the burden that they had to carry on their way to their death, of what caused them to be paying the price in the first place. When they got to the place where they were to be crucified, the Roman soldier would take the cross off of them and then put them on the cross. They either tied them up with ropes, their hands tied to the rope, with the rope to the cross, or they would nail their hands to the cross. It would be not the hand in the palm as we know it, but between the end of the hand and the wrist itself, where the bone was the strongest, because people did not realize that the weight of the flesh couldn't hold up with a nail in the middle of a palm. But that is the picture and the image that many choose to paint of it. But the truth of the matter is, it was right at the wrist and the end of the hand. And then they would cross the leg over and take a spike, which was longer than a nail, and drive it through both feet at one time. And then they would hang that cross up and drop it in a hole that was pre-dug enough to keep the cross standing up. But if the criminal would wiggle too much, the cross would rock. And every time it rocked, it would jar them and pull on the nails in their hands, and the foot that had a spike in it would be ripped more and more apart. And all of this was done so that the pain would be more excruciating than any human could ever endure. And so, my brothers and sisters, when you look at this in relationship to the curse that was on everyone that hung on the cross, it was their just deserve. But they took a holy Christ who had never committed one sin, done anything wrong, had never violated any law, and they treated him as a criminal of the worst kind. A holy God was watching this. A holy God knew this. And when you go back to this sixth verse of the second chapter of Philippians, it says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Jesus was 100% God, holy, righteous, pure, and he did not think it robbery for three reasons. One, he was self-existent with God. He was self-existent with God. Two, he was self-equal with God. And thirdly, he was self-eternal with God. So he was existent, equal, and eternal, all with God equally. So, moving to the seventh verse, the Bible says he made himself of no reputation. What does this mean? It meant that he chose to humble himself, to pour himself out of his power, his position, and his prestige and privilege as God, and became a servant. How do you move from being sovereign to a servant? But he became a servant. A servant. And then he moves from being a God to becoming a son. A son of man. A son of flesh and blood when he was the son of the sovereign God. But he chose it. Don't let this part pass you by. He chose it. Why did he choose it? Because it was the only way that he could identify with us, experience with us the things that we experience, but without sin. It was the same flesh and blood in his body that allowed him to be subject to all of the temptations that humankind went through, but without sin. And so verse 8 says, and being found in fashion, meaning having taken on the form of humankind, mankind, flesh and blood. Listen, that he humbled himself and became obedient to the death. And what is most important about this is not just dying as a human, but the death of the cross. When he chose to die, in other words, he didn't choose to die just as a human who died of old age. He chose to die paying the price for mankind, which meant that he paid the price for the easiest sin that could be named as a sin to the worst sin that could ever be charged for a sin, and every sin in between those sins. That meant no one who had ever sinned could not be pardoned for not being excused or paid for their sins by accepting Christ as their savior of their sins. In other words, it's important for you to know that how light your sin may be, how heavy your sin may be, Jesus paid it all. Now that ought to encourage somebody, because some of us are not as bad as others. Some of us are so bad we ought not be here. And some of us are so good we think we ought not be here. But wherever you fall in there, know this, that the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You need Jesus. And so when we begin to look at what Jesus has done, what is most important is what this cross represented to humankind. It was the emblem, first of all, of suffering. Suffering. There was no other execution as great as the execution on a cross. And even the worst of the criminals dreaded being executed on a cross, because it was suffering of the worst kind. No matter what they had done in life, the whole point of suffering on the cross was to make the pain greater than the crime that they had committed. But it was also twofold, because it was designed to show others that what happened to them on the cross could also happen to others if they did what they did. So the cross was an emblem of suffering. But secondly, it was an emblem of shame. Because regardless of what you had done, if it weren't publicized, it was left to the imagination of men why you were hanging on a cross. So it brought shame of the worst kind. What did he do? To be hanging on a cross. How bad was his sin? To be hanging on a cross. Who did he do it to? To be hanging on the cross. Who caught him? That put him on the cross. I mean, the shame that went on that person, in addition to the pain that person was going through many times mentally was more than that person could bear. But then when you added to that the sin that caused it to be a curse from God, made it one of the most abominable executions of mankind. And Jesus chose the worst of the worst for the worst of us. If he chose it for the worst of us, my brothers and sisters, even the best of us still got the blessing of him going further than he had to go to make sure that our debt was paid in full. Now let's look at another side of this cross, because it's important to understand that the other side of this cross is where Jesus now, who was the Holy Christ, on this hellish cross, paid the price for our substitution. Substitution. In other words, the reason Jesus was able, according to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set, that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Why that's so important? It's important because there was no shame for him being hung on that cross, because he had never committed a sin worthy to be on the cross. Therefore, because of his substitutionary stance for us, he gladly got on a cross that was meant for you. He gladly was scourged for every lick that was meant for you. Everything he went through, he knew it wasn't for him. He did it to substitute your place, to pay your penalty, to handle what you couldn't handle. Even though you committed the crime, you couldn't do the time. He said, I will do it for you. And he did it with joy. Joy. No shame in his game. He wasn't hanging for crimes he had committed. But he said, I love you enough to hang in your place substitutionarily. That's what it meant for Jesus to hang on that cross. In your place. Somebody say, thank you for hanging in my place, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Substitutionarily. My brothers and sisters, when you think about that for a moment, every sin you committed was hung on him. Can you imagine the weight that was placed on Christ because of our sins? Can you imagine the weight that he had to endure spiritually, feeling more than the weight of the entire world, if it were physically possible to be put on his shoulder? Because what you have to remember is that the weight of the sin was not just of you and me. And not just with the two male factors on each side of him, but for every sin from Adam, the first man, all the way to the last person who will live and die on planet Earth, all of them brought together in this central location and put on this one man as a penalty that must be paid to deliver whosoever will. Can you imagine the weight of that? Just think about your sin alone. The things you've done that you can count. The things you've done that you know. The things that you willingly knew that were wrong. Think about just you. It was a substitutionary death on that cross. But Jesus did this because it was also a sacrificial death on that cross. He sacrificed for you and for me what we could not do for ourselves. He sacrificed everything he was for everything we were not. He made up for us what we were lacking through his sacrifice. We are who we are because of him. Whenever you start getting a little puffed up and a little prideful and start thinking that you are all of that, can I remind you, you are what you are by the grace. Nothing you've done has made you all that you are except through him. And so it doesn't give us a right to look down on anybody. It doesn't give us a right to hold our heads up like we are all of that. It doesn't give us a right to do anything but be grateful and thankful for Jesus Christ. And then lastly, with Jesus hanging on that cross, it meant he saved us. He saved us. Not we saved us. Not you saved you. Not me saved me. But he saved us.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
KAYT, Shreveport, Greenwood, 92.5.